Well, as we all know, the government is handing out $60 billion in renewable subsidies, $60 billion of taxpayers' money. And this week, we've started to hear exactly where some of this money is going. For example, it was reported that AGL will receive $500 million to fund its solar projects, which generate just 4% of the capacity of their Liddell coal-fired power station, which they want to shut down. Work that out. Meanwhile, a Saudi solar tycoon is being paid $300 million in renewable subsidies for a plant that produces 0.08% of the country's power. It is absolute lunacy, and all based on the belief that the globe is warming fast as a direct result of human activity. Well, yesterday a study published in the journal Nature Geoscience showed that the world has warmed more slowly than had been forecast by computer models, which were on the hot side and overstated the impact of carbon emissions. They've admitted, finally, they've got it wrong. And I'm glad to see that Tony Abbott's standing up against this love affair with renewables. Last night, he warned that he'll cross the floor of Parliament and vote against any government attempt to legislate a clean energy target. This is shades of 2009 and Abbott's conquering of opposition leader Malcolm Turnbull. So where are we headed now? Where will this renewable path lead us? We need to look at Germany for guidance. They're going through a similar, albeit much more extreme process to what we are in terms of renewables. In 2012, the government in Germany decided to close down 19 nuclear power stations, despite supplying 30% of the country's electricity production in favour of renewable energy. The coal-fired power stations were relegated as backups. Essentially, the country replaced cheap, reliable, secure electricity with expensive, unreliable, intermittent renewable power. Well, according to a renewable fanatic at the time, the transition has been a disaster. My next guest knows this all too well. He was the fanatic. He's now the critic. He hopes that we in Australia can learn from his country's failures. Professor Fritz Warenholt is a former Minister for Energy in Hamburg, board member of several companies responsible for renewable energy, professor for chemistry at Hamburg University, and managing director of the German Wildlife Foundation. He's also the author of the German bestseller, The Neglected Sun, the most prominent critic to the German energy transition. I've got him on the line right now. Professor, thank you very much for your time.
Hi, Chris.
It's good to have you with us. Well, it's been such a transition period for Germany. Can you just background my listeners as to what kind of transition Germany has been through in terms of climate in the last decade?
So we started in Germany after Fukushima, the disaster in Japan. The government decided to step out of nuclear power plants, which serve for 30% of the electricity, and the idea was to substitute it by renewable, and that was not a very decent idea, because you substitute a cheap, reliable, secure electricity by an expensive one, by an unreliable one, because wind and sun is intermittent, and you cannot rely on it.
But you were initially supportive of this idea, were you not?
Yes, I have for a long time developed wind turbines and was in several positions in the industry. But my idea was that it is a good idea additionally to bring, let's say, 5%, 10% of the power demand by intermittent solar and wind. But the target now is 90% up to 2050.
No, just 90% by 2050?
Yeah. That is a very radical course, and the driver for that is the anxiety on climate change, because after now fading out nuclear, they want now to kill also gas and coal, and not having in mind that you need a source when wind is not blowing and when the sun is not shining, which is all the day in the night the case.
Okay, so this shift, how did it affect the consumers, the government of Germany, in terms of cost?
It had a tremendous cost result because the consumer had to pay, meanwhile, 25 billion for this simple thing. And
25 billion euros, is that right?
That is in euro, and you must say, see that all consumers have to pay a levy on their bills, and that is now 30% higher than in the past, and it is a very unsocial effect because also the poor have to pay this. And those who are investing in solar panels and wind turbines are those who have the money on that. That is a transfer which is from the poor to the rich. And it makes electricity in Germany to the most expensive in Europe. And that hits at the end also industry.
Okay, so what impact has the 37 billion Australian dollars that you've spent had on European carbon emissions?
So, none. That is
none.
None. Because you see, it's very expensive, but it is a European trading, emission trading system, which regulates the CO2 emission. And therefore, if we go down with CO2 in Italy, Spain, or Poland, it is popping up the same amount of that. And the second thing is, then the nuclear, which is without CO2, was substituted. And gas was substituted because it was the most expensive fossil fuel, and more lignite was burned, so that we can now state 10 years after this incredible move to a renewable future, we are having the same amount of CO2 emission than in the beginning of this phase.
I want to go back to using renewables to the 90% degree, as you said, supplying renewable energy by 2050, which I find incredible. How many wind turbines would you need for wind to primarily power your energy grid?
Yeah, we have you have to more than triple the turbines, so we are with 50,000 turbines, you are not in a position to serve for 50% of the German power demand. To give you an imagination, that would mean that every 2.7 kilometers a turbine is standing. Every 2.7 kilometers, so the whole country would be covered by a high 200-meter wind turbine, and that has effects on also the conservation of nature. So we will see a dying out of eagles and other birds.
But so the wildlife has been impacted by the number of turbines that you have built.
Really, we know that these turbines, which we have now, today in Germany, that's about 25,000 turbines are killing 240,000 bats every year, and killing the red kite, thousands of them, so that we have to have in mind that in 10 years these species are not
they're extinct.
Existing anymore. So there are so many problems. And the result is nil. And let me add one thing. The system is going more and more in an instability. Because on one hand, you have an oversupply. Meanwhile, we have so much wind that in some days when the wind is blowing, we have much more than we need. And so we don't know what to do with this garbage of electricity, so we offer it to the Polish people, to the Netherlands people, to all our neighbors for negative prices. Take our wind electricity, because if you are don't do it, our frequency is going up and we have a brownout or a blackout. And on the other hand, we have weeks of no wind and we have to import from nuclear power plants from Czechia, from France and whatever. So talking to an Australian, I must say, if you dare to do the same way as we have done, you have no neighbors. You are alone in your country.
We're on our...
any electricity from your neighbors, and you cannot bring them your garbage.
Correct. I want to refer to Australia's current energy transition. We're beginning to shut down coal-fired power stations. We have no nuclear power stations, although we have the greatest concentration of uranium per capita in the world. We've just spent $60 billion on renewable subsidies, and now our coal-fired power station operators are not wanting to get into coal because it doesn't pay them anything, but it does pay them a lot if they're into renewables. And we keep arguing here that we need to pay attention to our baseload power. They're not listening. Our politicians aren't listening, and they're predicting blackouts this summer.
Yeah, I've realized that. And at the end, you have two systems and you have to pay twice. Because on the other hand, a coal or gas-fired power station, which is not working for 5,000 hours or 6,000 hours, but only for 1,000 hours per year, is not profitable. So nobody is investing in coal anymore. Nobody is investing in gas anymore. And therefore, it will take, let's say, 2 or 3 years, and you have a disaster in Germany. But the politicians can't change, because they have promised to the people that there is a big threat, which we have to save the world because of climate change, and therefore they are going into a tunnel, and I think the tunnel has a dead end.
I am sure that the planet is increasing in temperature, but when I look at the records, the temperature isn't increasing by that much. Have we overreacted to the climate drama?
I think that is true. We have an increase of temperature. We have also a CO2 is a climate gas, but it is not as we have been told by the IPCC that we will not see 3 degrees or 2 degrees. My own calculations say, okay, we will see at the end 1 or 1.5 degrees, and that we can manage, because we have not seen in the calculation of the world climate IPCC that nature is also changing. Nature has changed. Nature has changed 1,000 years ago. There was Greenland, had green coasts, and it was warmer than today there. So we had icy times in 500 years ago. So that is also working in the future. And so they made the mistake that a part of these natural changing was attributed to CO2, and that is a very big mistake, because at the end we know that we have to change our energy system on the long run, but we have much more time to do it very properly and to do it prudently. What we are doing in Germany is not very prudent.
Your considered opinion is greatly appreciated, and thank you very much for your time.
Thank you to the other end of the world, and hopefully you can learn from our field.
Thank you, Professor. Much appreciated.